Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 9th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody, are you laughing at me, or who are you laughing at just now? I wasn't sure.
Oh, well, it's my little secret.
Aha.
Aha.
See, Melody's had more than one cup of coffee today, so she's in a particularly good mood, and we'll see how that works out now.
Well, gold was up a little bit. That'll put anybody in a good mood. Figured it'd be up today after the hammering that it took at the end of the week last Thursday and Friday. So we have gold up 780 today, 780 trading in the New York spot aftermarket, up 780 at 1242. Silver up 34 cents today at 1713. Platinum was down 3 at 1222, along with palladium was also down 5 at $782. The USDX today was trading down 0.08 at 94.56. Crude oil up $1.14, although I think it was off the, I think it was higher earlier today, but 1.14 today at 52.83. Paper markets today were down 95 points for the Dow at 17,729. The NASDAQ lost 18 at 4726. The S&P was down 8 at 2046. 10-year yield, that's still moving up 1.95%. Euro is 1.13. I guess the European markets got a little bit hammered overnight. You had London was down, Germany was down 1.7%. Some of the Asian markets were down, some of them were up. London was only down a little bit. The FTSE 100 was only down about 0.25%. So nothing too, Germany was interesting to be down that significantly. So, interesting there. I don't know if there was anything else. Chinese trade data today that was released yesterday. It's probably why there was a little impact, a little bit up and down in the Asian markets, showed that their imports fell nearly 20% over a year earlier. Exports, they were also weak. They dropped about 3.2% from a year earlier. And that might bring a little bit of concern to the world's second largest economy.
Well, China's economy has been on the... I mean, it's a fragile, no matter how difficult things might ever seem here in the United States. We look at some, we wonder whether we're getting accurate economic data from the government, and we have reason to wonder we're going up, going down, sideways. There's questions about that. But the United States has the potential to become more prosperous. Might not happen in the next couple of years. I don't know how fast it'll happen. But we have the resources where we could become significantly more prosperous if we got our act together. We can wonder whether that's true for China. They have so many fundamental and enormous problems that it's unlikely that they're going to be able to hold this thing together and maintain their status as number two or even number one world economy. What are they going to do with all the pollution? What are they going to do with the overpopulation? What are they going to do with problems about food and resources and the rest of that sort of thing? I mean, they've got trouble that's built into their country that's unlike, and it's like, in a sense, it's almost like Detroit on a national scale. How are they going to handle that? And over the long period of time, I don't think they're going to. They've had a big run here, and they've impressed a lot of people, but I don't think it can be sustained indefinitely. So you're looking at perhaps a little bump in the road for China, maybe even evidence of the beginnings of a significant decline that may last for, who knows, a number of years. But they don't have a lock on their economic position.
What they benefit from, though, is their continued purchasing of assets. I mean, they do, you know, continue to buy things, gold, soy, assets, and that is where they.
Insofar as they can, but they've still got, I don't think they can buy enough. I don't think they can buy enough to keep everybody happy forever. It's like every, Bugs Bunny cartoons with a rabbit tiptoeing across the room full of lions, Sam is following the rabbit and they're trying not to wake the lions and blah, blah, blah.
I'm not saying it's going to keep them out of the problem, out of the lion's den, but it certainly will help when they're able to control lot of those areas.
China, you wouldn't even hear about China except for one thing, and that's global free trade.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we start up, said, oh, let's knock the tariff barriers down and let's do all this. That was what essentially allowed factories to move from this country and other countries into China, take advantage of all that cheap labor. If there hadn't been global free trade, there'd still be a lot of ox carts in China running around on wooden wheels. They wouldn't have the prosperity where they can, they can have traffic jams that sometimes go into tens of miles long. I think they had one that was like 100 miles long for a traffic jam. Took them several days to get that problem cleaned up. You understand being trapped in your car out on the highway for several days and nothing moves? I mean, that's part of where China is, and I don't... It's dangerous to the people in China, may be dangerous to the countries around China. It's hard to say. They've got a real problem holding their country together. So we'll watch and see if they can, when they can, how long they can sustain this. But
well, you could also say that, well, of course, they have built up their military. And, you can say that China was really used in order to help promote the global economy. And you're right. These agreements were opened. These tariffs were dropped. The free trade agreements were created, and they were used.
But if we see a backlash from nations that are under a great deal of economic stress, and they decide that they don't want to compete with cheap labor in China, and they start restoring national tariff barriers, then China's going to be hurt by that. If anything happens to diminish global free trade, and that's certainly already happened. We've seen reports that the Baltic Dry Index is down as low as it's ever been. All right. When the global economy cools off, what's going to keep China functioning?
What's going to keep China functioning is they can lower their costs. Or at least,
maybe they can, maybe they can't.
They're still going to be lower than the rest of the world. So when the rest
maybe,
of the world is hurting,
but if the world's not
prices,
buying.
Yeah, but if the world's not buying, they're not going to pay more for something.
Well,
so I mean, I think that bridge to China has been built, and they'll still continue to.
Yeah,
they might have other political.
Buying,
yeah, they could have other
buying, and they can get it cheap. They're going to get it. They're going to buy it cheap. But it's not clear that people are buying the way the global economy is right now. Part of the problem is demand is down globally. All right. If they do buy, yeah, they might buy from China. But if they're not buying, they're not buying domestically, and they're not buying from China, and China is more vulnerable on this. It seems to me the people in China, they all want a car right now. And when they find out they're not all going to get one, hard to say what's going to happen. You know, it's like the Christmas pony. Everybody wants that pony for Christmas. What's going to happen if all the kids found out at one time that, nope, you're not getting a pony? We might have some temper tantrums. Well, we might see something similar among the Chinese people. They've had a taste of something like a hope of prosperity. And I doubt that. I don't know because I haven't studied the issue, but I will bet you that it's only 20-30% of the Chinese people that are really on what you might call the prosperity bandwagon right now. And there's another 60-70% that are waiting to jump on and expect to jump on. And they think, you know, we're just a question of time and we're going to be living large. Well, maybe they're not going to make it. And what happens then? I mean, that's the big threat in China. How do you keep all those people under control? The way to handle it is give them all automobiles and just park them all out on the road and just lock it down. Lock it down where you have gridlock, where
they
have to choose between either staying with the car, protecting the car, and maybe starving to death, or going home to get some food and losing the automobile. It would help.
You talk about control here in Connecticut. If you're a billionaire living in Connecticut, chances are that the tax department is keeping an eye on you. The tax officials in Connecticut track quarterly estimated payments of 100 high net worth taxpayers, and they can tell when those payments are down. Of that number, about half a dozen of the taxpayers have an effect on the revenue. That have an effect on revenue.
A significant effect on the state revenue.
Yes. The Department of Revenue Service, Kevin Sullivan, he's the state commissioner of the Department of Revenue, says that with one exception, state officials, they don't approach the super rich. However, 2 years ago, they were alarmed, these tax officials were alarmed that a super rich hedge fund owner might leave and reduce the state's income tax revenue. They met with this unidentified taxpayer, and the effort was successful. The taxpayer ended up leaving Connecticut, but he agreed to leave the hedge fund behind. Now, I'm beginning to think, well, what was the incentive to this taxpayer to keep the hedge fund behind? And it's like, you know, interesting.
That's really a very good question. Mm-hmm. It's like talking to, in a sense, it's like talking to an ordinary person and coming down and say, well, we see that you got a lot of stuff and we know you'd like to move to Oregon, all right? But we don't want you to move and take all your stuff. And he agrees, okay, I'll go to Oregon, but I'm going to leave my car and a house and all the rest of it back home. What persuaded him to do that, I wonder?
I wonder. Well, instead of
threats had to be made. You know, you can't it's hard to, it's not impossible that somebody just said, look, you're going to have a really bad, if you take everything you've got and you pull it out of our state of Connecticut, it's really going to have an adverse effect on all the neighbors and your friends and the rest of that sort of thing. So we want you to do the right thing for your fellow Connecticutans. I don't know what the proper term is for people in Connecticut. But in any case, do the right thing, and maybe he succumbed to that. But it seems more than likely somebody told him, look, you try to pull all your stuff out of this state, and we're going to audit you from now until heck freezes over. All right? Hard to say what happened there, but I'd like to know whether...
Or he got a significant tax reduction is what I assume.
Yeah, it might be, you know, the carrot stick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it also tells you how the condition that Connecticut is in. I mean, if one taxpayer and the wealth, if one taxpayer can have that significant reduction on the income tax revenue...
They're desperate.
They're desperate.
Yeah, that's another point. That's right.
They're desperate.
Yeah. I mean, when the government's got to watch individuals, you know, it won't be too long, Melody, before they're going to be putting somebody out there to sit. This is like in the former Soviet Union, where they would set somebody down there. You're going to have your own personal regulator. Keep an eye on you. You're going to be there every day. Show up for work. The regulator will be there. Keep an eye on what you're doing. Make sure you don't do anything contrary to the best interests of the state. We all owe our allegiance to the state. We owe prosperity to the state and a duty to provide the state with unlimited funds. What does the state give us, Melody, in return for providing them with unlimited funds? They give us regulators who don't threaten to shoot us every day. On the other hand, if you don't provide enough funds, well, maybe you need to be jailed. Who knows? Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Part of the reason the government is so desperate for funds is because the government has outgrown a size that might be compatible with our economy. There are some reports that the government ultimately contributes to something like 40% of the gross domestic product in this country. But they don't produce anything. That means, that implies that 4 out of 10 people's income is directly or indirectly dependent on government. What are we getting for that? You know, I don't think it can be sustained. You can only afford so many regulators. You can only afford, you know, you got people that work for a living. They're doing things, and then you have government comes out and tries to tell them what to do. We can sit back and agree that some of this regulation is absolutely necessary and helpful and a bunch of other stuff. But there is a point somewhere where you've got to say, look, enough. We can't regulate everything in the country. Some things have to just be left to freedom. And you're going to have to be allowed to do pretty much what you want to do most of the time unless you're harming other people. And if we're not going to go back to that idea, we keep on employing more and more people in the government. We take money from the productive, give it to the government, which is non-productive. How can that possibly work out? How can that possibly work out for the benefit of the majority of the people? And for me, the answer is it can't. All these good ideas are individually good. But you put them all together about we're going to regulate this, we're going to regulate this, we're going to regulate this, and all of a sudden you got a problem that is unaffordable and will drive us all into bankruptcy. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I do believe we have a caller, Jim, from West Virginia.
Oh, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I'm back.
Now, what you got for us?
Like y'all, man. Okay, let me talk uninterrupted, okay? You said something about...
No. We get to interrupt, Jim. We run the program. You get to call in. We get to interrupt. It's part of our job description. You can ask the local FCC regulator whether or not we get to interrupt or not.
Third try.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, you were saying that something like 40% of the people had to do with, you know, living off the government. I spent, as I said, about 20 years digging into economics and totally fascinated. Finally got bored with it all. But it's very difficult to extricate private from the public sector because there's so many contracts. Oh, you're working for the private business? Oh, what percentage of your business has to do with government? Oh, now, here's one way you can look at it. Now, everybody likes to look at taxation of adding up all the jillion different taxes. Now, this is economic truth, just like Gresham's Law or supply and demand and free market. You can look this up. All taxes accumulate in the price of the final product or service. So if you look at it that way, now, people have done heavy-duty studies on this, industry by industry, country by country, state by state. And what it boils down to is right now, two-thirds of every dollar you spend ends up trickling back. So actually, the government's slurping up two-thirds of the resources. Now, never before in history, to the best of my knowledge, and it's not the best in the world, but it's close to understand economic stuff, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first society which is so productive that it could go to two-thirds. Most of the time, if you have a country which goes to half the money goes for taxation, it's about ready to go shebang, blow up and riots in the streets. So when you look at the whole picture, No, it's more like two-thirds. And the only way to unwind it is a choke at a time. But to be honest with you, I don't see how that could possibly happen now. But yep. You guys do good, okay? Get you later.
Well, thank you. Yep, thank you, Jim.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jim is right about that. And I did an article back in the 1990s that I just called Big. I called at the time, we didn't have the internet. It's hard to imagine. It feels like the internet has been here since I graduated from high school. And in fact, it hasn't been here all that long. It's so much part of your life right now. I always had internet. No, we haven't. Back in the early 1990s, if you had a question and you needed some data right now, you could call the Dallas Public Library on the phone. And you could ask for, I don't remember what office it was, but you tell them, look, and I want to know how many people or what percentage of people are employed, one thing or another. And they would go look up the results. They would go dig it out of the library, and they'd give it to you over the phone. Right? It was a wonderful resource. It was nothing compared to the internet, but at the time it was a wonderful resource. We checked and inquired what was the total workforce back in 1950 when I was a little boy. What percentage of Americans had jobs? And it turned out it was about a third of the country had jobs. And you think, sit back and say, well, that doesn't sound like much. We have all these people that are unemployed. We needed more people to work. That's the way people normally think about it. And today we have perhaps 60% that have jobs, thereabouts. Like that, 60, 65, I'm not sure where it is right now. And therefore, you would think that we are more prosperous because we have more people working. But it's the opposite. When you only have a third of the people have jobs, at least at that time, it can be if the employment rate falls dramatically, depending on how your economy is set up. Yes, it can be create poverty, but at the time, we were probably the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen. And that's why only a third of the people needed jobs. One man could make enough money all by himself that he could let his wife stay home and raise the kids. But over the years since then, government has raised taxes a little here, a little there, regulating here, regulating there, and they've raised it up until the last, back at the time I did the article, it was about 55%. Of the gross domestic product was actually going to taxes in the form of the direct taxes, federal, state, and local that apply to all of us, and in the form of the hidden taxes that are built into all products that you buy. And at that time, we were paying over half of our income to taxes. And today, I don't know what it is today, but it's undoubtedly higher. Jim was talking about two-thirds. I don't doubt that at all. And it may be more. I can remember when Bill Clinton was in office, he warned at one point that he expected the next generation to be paying 80% of its income to taxes. Sharecroppers, after the Civil War in the South, probably got a better deal as sharecroppers than you and I are getting right now, working and paying the money that's in taxes that we pay on, again, income tax, sales tax, state income taxes, all the rest of the taxes that are built in this thing. This is why we're having a problem. Government is eating us out of house and home. We are being impoverished by our government. It's not here to help us. It's here to take every dime you make under the pretext they're doing good deeds. What are we doing in Iraq? What are we doing in Syria? Do we really need to meddle in everyone's affairs all over the world? Do we really need to regulate everything that goes on in this country? Or do we need to just tell government, pull in your horns. I don't care about your good ideas. I don't care. I don't care. Come in. Oh, this is for the children. It's for the minorities. It's for the elderly. Let the country take care of itself. You know, one of the studies I saw years ago, and this was, I think, the Rand Institute. I don't recall clearly. But they calculated that for every dollar that's collected by the government in taxes to help a particular, say, oh, we've got to raise taxes to help the blacks. We've got to raise taxes to help the women, the poor, the children, anybody, bring out the violin. Oh, we got to help them. For every dollar that was collected from people who work for a living to help these minorities and children and whatever else, only about 25 cents got to the people who were supposedly the beneficiaries of this tax. If I ran a charity on that basis, I'd probably be prosecuted for fraud. But the government, only a fraction of us, oh, let's help the poor, let's help somebody. We would be better off to help them ourselves at home. If the government, instead of taking a dollar from me and giving a quarter of it to minorities, the poor, women, children, whatever, it would be better for me to take 50 cents. Not going to send a dollar to the government. I will take 50 cents and I will donate 50 cents to the women, the poor, whoever. They get twice as much. Instead of getting 25 cents out of the dollar, they get 50 cents from me. And instead of me paying a buck, I only have to pay 50 cents to help the poor. The only one who suffers under that formula is the government. Somebody's got to recognize, not just somebody, the nation needs to get hold of the idea that the principal adversary to your prosperity, your freedom, your liberty is your own government. It's not in Iraq and Syria and China and the rest of it. Your government's the one that's tearing this country apart. And they do it because everybody just accepts the presumption. Oh, the government needs, well, we've got to pay more money if the government has a great program in mind. It just stands to reason. Let's hire some more government regulators, and we'll raise the taxes on the people who still work for a living, and we're going to help the poor, the blacks, the women, the children, somebody. What we're really helping is big government. And we're going to have to recognize it. Set our heels and say, no, done with it. Not paying anymore. We're going to back it off. Take your good ideas and stick them. We don't care about your good ideas. Go away. We're not paying you any more taxes. In fact, we're going to reduce the taxes we've been paying already, and the government is going to have to cut its size dramatically. Oh, blah, blah, blah. What's next, Melody?
Well, you talked about services. Homeland Security sets up a complaint hotline for illegals.
Yes.
Customer complaint. Mm-hmm. Customer complaint line.
Yes, customers. It says memos say agencies want to know if federal officials violate the new Department of Homeland Security enforcement priorities. The Homeland Security Department has set up hotlines for illegal immigrants. Illegal. You get that? We're set up hotlines for criminals to see if they think they've been treated unfairly. It says hotlines for illegal immigrants who believe their rights under President Obama's amnesty program have been violated. You know, how would they know what's going on in President Obama's amnesty program? Point one, the average American doesn't have any idea what's going on in the amnesty program. How are these Mexicans coming across the border? How do they say, oh, what are they, lawyers? They already understand the amnesty policy. And who is this guy, Obama, who gets to set up a special amnesty program where we're going to take care of illegals? An amnesty program for criminals. And not just a couple, not just 100, not just 1,000. Something like, what, 5.5 million? That they expect to take advantage of this illegal amnesty, or the illegals who will take advantage of this amnesty program? And this, and it goes on, it says, in a memo announcing the customer complaint line, U.S. Customs and Border Protection asked the illegal immigrants to please tell us about your experience if they believe they were treated contrary to the new DHS, Department of Homeland Security enforcement priorities. Customers, right? These aren't illegal aliens. These are customers. And we have set up a customer hotline for illegals who come into this country because they are customers. And they're not joking about this. This is not, you go to the post office, and I think even some of the courthouses, you'll see evidence that they treat you as customers. Not treated as taxpayers, not treated as citizens.
certainly not treated as one of the people of the United States of America, or one of the people of the state of Texas, or the state of, you know, Pennsylvania, Maryland, whatever. They treat you as customers. And they're even treating illegal aliens as customers. And it raises implications that I don't know how many people understand this. I won't claim that I do. But the whole thing is just commercial. We're not dealing with right and wrong. It's not a question of law and order. It's a question of profit and loss. That's all. How can we make money off the illegals? They are our customers. Apparently, the government figured a way that they can make money off the illegal aliens. What difference does it make whether they're illegal? What difference does it make if your Eric Holder, Attorney General, engages in illegal activity in the Fast and Furious, handing out guns to Mexican drug dealers? What difference does it make?
That killed our border control.
Yeah, I know. Is it about right and wrong? Is it about what the law is? Or is it about, hey, how can we make the most money? Does it make any difference if we make the money off of illegals or legals? No. What's the bottom line? Bottom line. Bottom line. How do we make the money? Where do we get the money? This is consistent with Melody's. We were talking earlier in the program about Connecticut wanting to control whether a billionaire can or cannot leave Connecticut and take his business or his hedge fund with him. It's about the money. It's not about right and wrong. It's about the money. This is bad for us. This is the difference between living in a nation, which is about people, and has a system of values that is conducive to maintaining your rights and your liberty. That's what you find in a nation. Or you can live in an economy which couldn't care less about your rights or your liberties. The only thing the economy cares about is more money, more money, more money. How do we make the most money? There's more money to be made by depriving you of your rights than deprive the people of their rights. We've got to get the money. Get the money. The whole world is at that right now with central banks around the world. It's the foundation for what may be the New World Order. And it's bad for us as people to accept the idea that we have to run this country as an economy rather than as a nation. It's part of the reason a lot of people are concerned. A lot of people sense this. They say, oh, there's a problem here. There's something wrong here. I don't know what it is. It's because we're caught in an economy rather than a nation. And we are moving in that direction, and it will be to our detriment. You know, the Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. The economy is all about the love of money. It has nothing to do with liberty. If you can make more money with slaves than you can with free men, slavery. Let's get it. Let's have it. If you can make more money with illegal aliens, a corporation can make more money. Bring the illegal aliens and they'll work for nothing. Let's do it. Make more money. It's not about right and wrong. We can't continue along those lines and expect this nation to hold together. So in any case, Homeland Security is setting up amnesty complaint hotlines for illegals. And it cracks me up. They say, please tell us about your experience. I'm not sure what they want. They're looking for there, but did you get your feet wet when you waded across the river? Do you think it would be helpful if we built more bridges for illegal aliens to cross the Rio Grande? I'm not sure if they ask that or not, but tell us about your experience. Why don't they have a hotline for bank robbers or tax evaders? Tell us about your experience at evading your income taxes. The department alerted stakeholders last week of three complaint hotlines, one for the Border Patrol, one for U.S. Immigration, and a third for Customs, which handles immigration laws in the nation's interior, and another one for Citizenship and Immigration Services, which is poised to handle millions of amnesty applications that are expected to be filed. Stakeholders. I don't even know who the stakeholders are. The people have some sort of an interest in a trust situation that's set up. I think that's what the stakeholder means. We're not talking about citizens. We're not talking about the people. We're talking about stakeholders. And it's not
insignificant that they use those words. You and I are caught in a matrix of words and definitions that are contrary to many of our best interests, and stakeholders is one of them. Let's take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
And we do have Swiss francs. We're going to continue that special, $275 for Swiss francs from last week prior to gold rising today. So they're really a great deal today, almost a fifth of an ounce for your Swiss francs. Very positive special we were running, had quite a few people take advantage of these Swiss francs. They're beautiful, brilliant, uncirculated, highly recognizable and acceptable. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. $275 for BU Swiss franc. That also includes your shipping costs, whether you buy one or 100. So give us a call, add to your portfolio. Everyone I talk to, Al, there has been so many predictions. We predicted this year we're certainly going to see things beginning to unwind. A lot of folks are coming out predicting things will unwind. They named April as a date of something, and I'm not so sure it will be April.
But April 1st is April Fool's.
April Fool's.
That may be the day it all hits the fan.
Maybe.
Or it may be the day that shows the predictions were just silly. You know?
Maybe. But it does seem to be coming closer and closer of things certainly beginning to unwind. We really don't know how any of these conflicts that are occurring in the Middle East, which way they're going to be going. Today there was a report that from a radio station, a Russian radio station, saying that Vladimir Putin will not be spoken to the language of ultimatums. It was suggested that German Chancellor Angela Merkel had given him until Wednesday to agree to a peace plan over Ukraine or face new sanctions. The Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, told this radio station that nobody has ever talked to the president in the tone of an ultimatum and could not do so even if they wanted to. So certainly this warning came as Merkel was meeting with Obama to discuss this peace initiative. And I believe you also have something on Ukraine.
Oh, we've got something from CNBC and the headline, Obama, not ready to send arms to Ukraine yet. You've probably all heard that Obama is considering sending more weapons to Ukraine to fight against Russia. And there's, from my perspective, I think the Ukrainians got to be crazy to take those weapons. All right? And I know that's a strange statement. If anyone was Ukrainian, they'd sit back and say, no, we got to have those weapons. We need those weapons to defend ourselves. Well, Ukraine is not, I don't care how many weapons you give Ukraine, they're not going to defeat Russia. That's not going to happen. And if you give them more weapons, all you're going to ultimately do, in my opinion, is kill more Ukrainians. Fine, here we're going to give you grenade launchers and mortars and tanks or whatever else. We'll give you jet fighters and maybe some missiles. All that guarantees is that Russia is going to beat the you know what out of Ukraine. And the more armed they are, the more trouble they're probably in. So this article says President Barack Obama said Monday he wasn't ready to provide defensive arms to Ukraine, reaffirming with German Chancellor Angela Merkel that sanctions on Russia should be maintained. Why should they be maintained? Russia isn't the bad guy in this deal. This whole thing started when the United States orchestrated the overthrow of the previous government of Ukraine. That government was moving to have closer relationships with Russia. And therefore, our government moved in. They said, we need a counter-revolution. We're going to overthrow the existing government. And we're going to install a new government that's favorable to the United States. The people of Ukraine had voted for a government. Without shooting anybody, they voted for a government that said, we want to move closer relationships with Russia. Our government went and overthrew that government and said, we'll put in a new one that wants closer relationships with NATO and the United States. We started this thing. And they're insisting that we have some reason to sanction Russia. Russia was surprised by the whole deal. Crimea broke loose and said, we want to join Russia. Russia said, okay, you used to be part of Russia, bring in. Then the people in eastern Ukraine said, yeah, we want to be part of Russia too. And now we have something like a civil war in the Ukraine, while the traditional Ukrainians who've been there in their own way, their heritage, their genetic heritage, their cultural heritage, they've been Ukraine for centuries. They want to keep at least Western Ukraine for themselves. Eastern Ukraine is dominated by people who are of Russian heritage. And they want to separate and go back. So, you know, this whole business, sending arms to Ukrainian forces is only going to prolong this conflict. And what we have at the moment is the United States is saying, let's you, Ukraine, and Russia fight. Ha ha! You two can fight. And some of you are going to get killed, but so what? Here, we'll give you some guns so you can keep on shooting each other. This is as nutty as Eric Holder giving guns to the Mexican drug dealers. You know, a lot of people are just going to get killed for no good reason. The article continues and says Merkel came to Washington in part to push against arming Ukrainian forces. In Brussels, EU, European Union ministers held off tightening sanctions to give peace talks a chance. You want to give peace talks a chance? Why don't you just let the Ukraine have the government that they had elected in the first place? We've got the government of the United States is wrong on this. The mainstream media doesn't talk about it, but we had Obama. He was on television just in the last several days, and he was interviewed, and he flat out admitted that they had brokered a revolution in Ukraine. We did this. We started this. Not the Russians, not the Ukrainians, the United States. And now we want to give them guns so they can keep on fighting. According to Obama, he says, we continue to encourage a diplomatic resolution of the issue, as diplomatic efforts continue this week. We are in absolute agreement that the 21st century cannot have a stand idle and simply allow the borders of Europe to be redrawn at the barrel of a gun. We're the ones that tried to redraw the borders. And on top of which, here's Obama. He's going to enforce the borders in Europe, but he's not going to enforce our border with Mexico. All right, he's big on it, European borders, but he doesn't care about American borders. This whole Ukrainian thing is so misunderstood and so wrong that you, and it's important that we understand this. And it's not a matter of you believe in what I have to say. It is a matter of doing a little research on your own if you think, well, how could this be? Could it be that the United States is responsible? Yeah. Find out. Because we hear people all the time when we finally commit our own soldiers to these little debacles, once we do, then everybody's, oh, we got to get behind the boys. Got to get behind the military. If you care anything about the young men and women of this country who might get killed in a conflict in Ukraine, you don't need to get behind them. You need to get in front of them. You need to look into the news. You need to look, discover the truth, and find out, do we have any reason to send young American soldiers, do we have a reason to send them to Ukraine? And the answer is no, we do not. At least not any moral reason. We caused a revolution in that country. Now it's blown up in our face, and we want to blame the Russians. This is a mess we made, and if we learn this, look up, find the evidence for yourself, then you can lean on your congressman, you can lean on your senator, maybe even lean on your president, and make enough fuss where they finally say, all right, fine, we'll go start a war someplace else. We don't need to do it in the Ukraine. Anyway, so are we going to send more arms to Ukraine? Probably. I'll bet we do, but all it's going to succeed in doing is causing a bunch of Ukrainians to die. What's next, Melody?
Well, I believe it was 2 weeks ago that Ukraine started a draft. They don't call it a draft, but yeah. Pretty much the same thing. And so they are gearing up for it. And so they're going to have the people, the men and the boys, to handle the weapons if we give them. But so it seems like that's the direction that's going in. And
yeah, but this is just so misguided. All we're
it
gonna
is, get I agree.
Ukrainians killed. Here, let me give you a gun. You can go fight the Russians. Yep. Really? I'm going to go fight the Russians? Is that right? I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think, you know, how big a gun can you give me before I have a chance of fighting the Russian or the Russians? Mm-hmm. What are you going to give me? I mean, other than false confidence, and after they have ruined Ukraine, and that's what's going to happen here. Ukraine is going to be destroyed. That's what's happened. The whole thing is just a debacle.
Then the bankers can move in, rebuild, and make billions more.
It's hard to say.
And then they'll pick another place. Seems like that's their...
I agree.
They're fond of
doing. I agree. This is not about trying to defend liberty or rights or anything else.
No.
Somebody's found an angle, and they wanted to exploit it, and hasn't worked out right, but so what? They'll just stand up and lie, and instead of saying, gee, we made a big mistake, they'll insist the Russians are to be blamed. And I'm not here to defend Putin as some sort of a saint and whatever, but I'm just telling you, look, you got to call a spade, and if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to, you know, you're not, you want to protect any American soldiers from getting killed in Ukraine? That's where we'll go with this before this is done. All right, you want to protect them? Don't stand behind them. Stand in front of them and make sure you understand what your government is doing before it starts shipping people over into Central Asia.
You just have to be careful who you pick your fights with. And I don't think Russia is one that we should have picked a fight with.
Not in Russia's backyard.
Nope.
If you want to fight Russia in Costa Rica, fine. We can fight Russia in Costa Rica. That maybe can make sense. This makes no sense to engage in a war with Russia on its own border. This is just stupid. All right? And like I say, what's going to result? We're going to get a bunch of Ukrainians killed.
And others.
Yeah, well, others besides that. If we'll see how far the death toll runs before somebody finally makes some sense out of this. But
one thing that's not getting a lot of press is what has happened in Yemen. And we haven't talked about much, and we're just about out of time, so we can't really get into it now. But, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in these various parts of the world. It just surprises me that things just seem to move as though everyone is at peace and is happy. And
I don't understand that. I mean, I don't agree with that exactly.
No, I do, because it's you don't see it in the markets. You don't see it in areas that you would see an impact. And it seems like things just seem to flow right along. However, there will be reactions one of these days to all these conflicts and the turmoil that's going on, plus all these the economic turmoil that's going to be created because of all these conflicts. So, I mean, that hasn't even caught up to the markets yet. So
I don't even know, again, the question is to what extent are the markets actually connected to objective reality, and to what extent are they essentially controlled and manipulated by government in a way that says, I don't care if there's nuclear war, we're still going to support the Dow.
Well, eventually, no. I believe the markets certainly are rigged and certainly manipulated. However, they will react.
Eventually,
it doesn't matter what the governments will do. They will react.
Oh, I agree with you. Reality will overcome the manipulation.
Absolutely.
My point is,
but you would still see some sectors of the markets react, and we haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they can't control all of the markets all the time. They usually will take sectors. They will usually take, to what they can control. Smaller markets, they're a little bit easier to control and so forth. But we haven't seen any reaction anywhere.
We're going to. It's all being saved up. That spring is being loaded,
and tighter and tighter.
It's going to bust loose, and when it does, it's going to be a very interesting time. You think it's interesting now? Stick around. It's going to get fascinating, and probably not so long from now. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got to be a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.